Hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am your host, David Connolly. This news, of course, is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. The main headlines from around the world are as follows. First, we start off with additional details on the Dudong prehistoric ritual site in the UAE, and then on to a cave site in Oregon, which is yielding controversial evidence of America's first inhabitants. We have a report on a Mesolithic tool factory unearthed in Leicestershire, and an Iron Age burial mound found in the Netherlands. A prehistoric burial ground is also discovered on Skye in Scotland. And staying in Scotland, a novice metal detectorist finds golden torques in a field near Stirling. And staying with metal detecting, it's a remarkable case where a father and son have been cleared of illegal treasure hunting in England on, shall we say, a technicality. And finally, the Chinese challenge the out-of-Africa theory for the origins of Homo sapiens. About 6 weeks ago now, we reported on an article about the discovery of the oldest known place of worship dedicated to the dugong, or sea cow, on the island just north of Dubai in the UAE. Now more details on this exceptional find are beginning to emerge. The archaeological excavation held on an island off the coast of Umm Al Gawain, close to an earlier fishing village of Aqab, recently revealed that the bones of dugongs were symbolically arranged into a mound. Dr. Sophie Mery of the French Centre of Scientific Research and Director of the French Archaeological Mission in the UAE, together with her colleague Vincent Charpentier from the French National Institute of Archaeological Institute, INRAP, first excavated the site in 2002 together with the Museum of Umm Al Gawain. They found that the dugong mound was only a small part of a much larger Neolithic site, including the remains of circular houses. The village is older than the ritual site by around 500 years, and the ritual area is not a burial site but a sanctuary, which gives it a very different meaning. It's not possible to say exactly the number of people who lived in the village of Aqab, but they think that several families gathered there for the fishing season. Traditionally, the dugong has special status in the Indo-Pacific area, and preparation for hunting them is much the object of rites as the transport of their carcasses to the shore, their butchering and their consumption. Around 20 areas in the Gulf region have been excavated. However, research shows that between 6,500 and 3,100 BCE, despite an absence of agriculture, a Neolithic culture developed and flourished in the UAE and Oman. One such excavation by a paleontologist in the 1990s initially marked Aqab as a dugong butchering place due to the huge number of bones and skulls that were found there. It's a fact a sanctuary where the bones of more than 40 of them were found stacked and aligned with great care and precision. At the end of 2006, they realised that the mound was not a disorganised accumulation of bones but a designed structure which was built up in stages covering 10 square metres. Skulls lay parallel to each other and ribs were laid in sets together with the artefacts like beads and tools. Very little evidence of butchering was actually found on these bones. The early occupation of Aqab is dated by radiocarbon dates ranging from 4,748 to 3,814 BCE, and its dugong bone mound is seen as a monument constructed to last. The archaeology of the Arabian Peninsula has revealed very little on ancient beliefs and ritual practices preceding Islam. Two Bronze Age temples were discovered in Bahrain, ruins of the Dilmun civilization of the 3rd and 2nd millennium BCE, while in the Musandam Peninsula no known vestiges of the Bronze Age exist. It's not until the Iron Age that religious practices related to snakes begins to appear. The dugong is also specifically present at Al-Maha, a 4th millennium site in Bahrain. Dating back to the Bronze Age, the sites at Umman Ar, Tel Abrak, Shimal and Ras Ghannada in the UAE have all produced dugong bones in varying numbers. And I can actually testify to that very fact, because I remember surveying around many of these areas back in the 1990s and finding many of these sites and, in fact, dugong bones. Glad to see what actually it all means. Archaeologists claim to have found the oldest known artifact in the Americas, a scraper-like tool in an Oregon cave in the USA that dates back 14,230 years. Archaeologist Dennis Jenkins of the University of Oregon in Eugene says that the tool shows that people were living in North America well before the widespread Clovis culture of 12,900 to 12,400 years ago. Jenkins and his team found the tool in a rock shelter overlooking a lake in south central Oregon, one of a series of caves near the town of Paisley. And recent studies of sediment and radiocarbon dating show that the bone's age is over 14,000 years. Whether the cave dwellers were Clovis people or belonged to an earlier culture is uncertain. None of the Clovis people's distinct fluted spear and arrow points have been found in the cave. John Erlandson, an archaeologist at the University of Oregon, comments that they can't yet rule out that the Paisley people weren't Clovis. The only other American archaeological site older than Clovis is at Monteverde in Chile, which is 13,900 years old. Last year, Jenkins and colleagues reported that Paisley Cave coprolites, or fossilised human excrement, dated to somewhere between 14,000 and 14,270 years ago. That report established the Paisley Caves as a key site for American archaeology. Analysis of ancient DNA marked the coprolites as human, but in July, another group argued that the coprolites might be younger than the sediments that they were contained in. The team, led by Hendrik Poyner of McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, also questioned the 2008 report because no artifacts had been found in the crucial sediments. The Oregon team strongly disputed the criticisms. The dating of the bone tool and the finding that the sediments encasing it range from 11,930 to 14,480 years old might put these questions to rest at last. Other researchers questioned also whether the cave's inhabitants would have been mainly vegetarian, as the coprolite suggested. Jenkins noted other evidence reflecting a diet short of meat, but including edible plants. In late September, a group of archaeologists who study the peopling of the Americas met with federal officials and representatives of the local Klamath tribe to review the evidence at Paisley Caves. Specialists spent 2 days examining sediments, checking the tool and assessing other plant and animal evidence. They came to the conclusion that this is clearly an important site, but there are still some conclusive tests that need to be done to seal the deal. Archaeologists have unearthed an 8,000-year-old tool factory in Britain, near Melton in Leicestershire, England, with fingernail-sized flint flakes, burned animal bones and evidence of tents. This is in fact the largest Mesolithic site yet found in the area. The site has not been churned up by the plough like most farmland has. It has remained completely undisturbed since the time before Britain became an island. The dig took place prior to the construction of a new housing estate, and though the dig has just come to an end, the team has revealed its findings after the developer funded the project prior to any building work. Archaeologist Wayne Jarvis, who led the dig, said that they collected a large number of very early flint artefacts from the Mesolithic period around 8,000 years ago. Indeed, about 5,000 pieces of flint were found in a very small area, and the pieces of flint are largely discarded flakes, or debitage, from when arrowheads and other tools were shaped. However, there are also some complete pieces that were also possibly arrowheads, although it's possible as well that they had other uses. They've found nothing like them before. Mr. Jarvis said flint was a rare commodity in Stone Age Leicestershire. The nearest good source of the stone would have been in Lincolnshire, so flint from used arrowheads would probably be reshaped and recycled. Also on the site are small boulders grouped together, which the archaeologists think were probably used as prehistoric tent weights to pin down animal skin canopies for shelter. There's also evidence of campfires, including burnt animal bones. Patrick Clay, co-director of University of Leicester Archaeology Service, said that most of our Mesolithic artefacts from Leicestershire were just surface finds, and it was a great surprise to find an intact site. There's a lot of further work to be done in the lab, and hopefully they'll be able to learn a lot more about how people lived in the area nearly 10,000 years ago. This is one of the most amazing sites that you can actually find is a Mesolithic hunter-gatherer camp. If you can just imagine the number of people that are moving around the area, it's looking for a needle in a haystack. So absolutely a stunning find to be found there. Archaeologists have also found the Iron Age burial mound of a wealthy man in Noord-Brabant, the second major find within a cluster of earthworks and other remains near the town of Oss in southern Netherlands. The first mound was identified as far back as 1933 and is considered one of the most important archaeological sites in the country. And the second is located just a few hundred metres away and is 40 metres in diameter and only 1.5 metres high. Archaeologists found the cremated remains of a man in a richly decorated pottery urn as well as fragments of bronze. The finds will go on show in the town's museum on Thursday. Now, heading across to Scotland, we have a prehistoric burial ground which has been discovered on the island of Skye. Six slab-lined graves and six cremation pits have been unearthed on the excavation site close to Armadale Pier on the Sleat Peninsula. Experts say it's one of the most significant archaeological finds yet made in the Highlands. Flint tools and urns were found inside the graves, although skeletal remains have been damaged due to the tide. The contents of the burial site are being removed by the team of archaeologists from Inverness and Skye. They could be reconstructed and located at a new site at Armadale, out of the harm's way of the tide, of course. Two kist graves, meaning that they were short slab-lined pits, were uncovered during an initial dig. Further excavations revealed a monument with an arc of three standing stones enclosing another kist, which was covered by a two-ton capstone. The first two kists, containing two fully intact and beautifully decorated urns, were dated to the Bronze Age. The kist at the centre, though, was different. This was a substantial monument with a kist set on a totally different alignment from the first two, suggesting an earlier date, probably Neolithic. And this is an exciting discovery for Skye and North West Highlands, where this type of archaeological site has just not been excavated to this level. Its prominent location was chosen as it would have been observed by sea travellers in the Sound of Sleat, while the kist at the centre would have contained a person of some importance. Now, the first of two of our metal detecting stories this week. An Iron Age treasure hoard has been unearthed by a safari park keeper using a metal detector for the very first time. David Booth was stunned when he found four 2,000-year-old gold neckbands in a field in Stirlingshire in Scotland. He had driven to the site, parked his car, and then after taking only seven steps, found the treasure. Booth said it was like the first thing he ever came across. I knew it was jewellery, he said, and I knew it was old, but I just didn't know how old. The lucky amateur appeared alongside the treasure at the National Museums of Scotland ahead of the valuation of the hoard by the Scottish Archaeological Finds Allocation Panel. Well, that'll be me then. Under law, the Crown can claim any objects found in Scotland and the people who find the objects have no right of ownership. Something to remember there if you're up in Scotland, by the way. So, however, Mr. Booth could be set to receive a large reward that could be equal to the value of the jewellery. Experts have declared the hoard of international significance, demonstrating the wealth and connections of the people in Scotland at that time. The exact location of the field in which the treasure was found is, of course, being kept secret to stop other would-be treasure hunters from mobbing the site. The collection consists of two ribbon torques, a local style of jewellery made from twisted ribbons of gold, half an ornate torque of southern French origin, and a unique braided gold wire torque, which shows strong influences of Mediterranean craftsmanship, both thought to date from the 1st and 3rd millenniums BCE. Dr. Fraser Hunter, the Iron Age and Roman curator at the National Museums of Scotland, said that he almost fell off his seat when he first set eyes on the photographs of Mr. Booth's discovery. Now, you see, what Mr. Booth did was the correct thing. He found it, he contacted the proper authorities, we were able to get archaeologists in there and actually discover a lot more about the site. Not so the next story. A father and son team of treasure hunters who were accused of illegally removing 3,000-year-old artefacts from an Uttlesford estate in Essex while acting as metal-detecting nighthawks were recently cleared. They were found not guilty by a Crown Court test case prosecution which has been closely watched by treasure hunters and archaeologists throughout the country. Bronze Age axe heads, spear heads and a chisel were found when the two men caught while were operating at about 5 a.m. in the morning, in the dark and in the rain, on land belonging to Lord Braybrooke without his permission. Ipswich Crown Court was told all this, and Paul Hitchens and son Paul Anthony Hitchens denied theft of Bronze Age artefacts belonging to the Crown and had told the court that they had intended to report the finds officially, but had been stopped by doing so by police before they had an opportunity. The items were thought to have been worth around £2,000. It was a remote, rural area, 5:30 a.m. in the morning, dark and raining. They didn't seem to have permission to be there, and they didn't volunteer the items that were in their car. They gave inconsistent accounts, but there was a loophole. And this verdict has implications for all those who head out into the countryside with metal detectors in search of treasure. And its outcome clearly doesn't help those who do their best to avoid the loss of historical source material in the UK. So yes, it's one of these classic loopholes, and I suppose all you can say is they have been found not guilty in law. And it's one of these things that's going to have to be looked at slightly more carefully, because there are a large number of metal detectors who operate absolutely within the law and provide a lot of new information. And it's sad that this sort of thing happened and can tarnish the good reputation of most of the metal detectors in Britain. Anyway, and finally, the discovery of an early human fossil in southern China may challenge the commonly held idea that modern humans originated out of Africa. Jing Zhangzhu, a colleague at the Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology and Paleoanthropology in Beijing, announced to Chinese media last week that they had uncovered a 110,000-year-old possible Homo sapien jawbone from a cave in southern China. The mandible has its protruding chin like that of a Homo sapiens, but the thickness of the jaw is indicative of a more primitive hominid, suggesting that the fossil could derive from interbreeding. If confirmed, the finding would lend to support to the multi-regional hypothesis. This says that modern humans descended from Homo sapiens coming out of Africa, who then interbred with more primitive humans on other continents. In contrast, the prevailing out-of-Africa hypothesis holds that modern humans are the direct descendants of people who spread out of Africa to other continents around 100,000 years ago. Well, on that controversial note, we will end for this week. I've only one or two things still to say to you, is that you'll be glad to know that hopefully by the end of this week, the Past Horizons issue 10 magazine will be out. You'll be able to find that at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine and look for issue 10. You can also find it, of course, on Facebook. Just look for Past Horizons on Facebook or pop along to their blog and see what's going on. Past Horizons blog, you'll find that if you Google it. Can I also remind people that there are many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities on Badger, BAJR.org, as well as the new offshoot of this, the Badger Federation. Just again, put Badger Federation into Google or badgerfed.co.uk. And remember, also, more can be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. So thank you very much for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.